Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? When we partake of the communion, God wants us to discern the body of Christ. And He wants us to release our faith in this communion. Do it on purpose. You know, there's so much religious tradition surrounding the communion that it just irritates me. What it's done to people, what it's done to the communion, and it's held people back. Kept them from walking in the freedom that God wants them to walk in. They've, through their traditions, they've made it almost unrecognizable to what it truly is. I don't know how many times I've taken communion with a little rice wafer. That's almost blasphemy. God told us specifically how to take the communion, how to prepare for the communion. He told us to take matzah bread. See, in the Old Testament, they used matzah bread too. And always remember, in the Old Testament, Jesus was concealed. In the New Testament, He's revealed. So in the Old Testament, there's types and shadows of Jesus all through the Old Testament. Now, if you look at this matzah bread, you know, one that we have a full sheet, sometimes we'll bring it out. It's a full square sheet of bread made without yeast. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. We know that Jesus' body is and was without sin. Also, you'll notice that this bread has been beaten and pounded flat. The Bible tells us that Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. You'll notice that this bread has stripes in it. The Bible tells us that it's by His stripes we were healed. You also notice that this bread has been pierced. Everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, He shed blood on purpose, and we get redemption in some area. Also, you'll notice that this bread is slightly burned. The full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when He was on that cross. He took all of it. He took the full brunt of the curse. All of it. He took it all so that we could walk free. So we're taken to this broken body of Jesus for our healing and our well-being, and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is so perfectly pure because it's not the blood of Adam. That's what we have. We have Adam's blood coursing through our veins. Jesus had the blood of God, perfectly pure. He never made a mistake. We have sin-tainted blood. That's why we need Jesus as our Savior. But it's because of this perfectly sinless, pure blood of God that He can wash away our sins. And it's because of that blood that we are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are put into right standing with Him. And it's because of that blood that we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. The good thing about communion is that you can take it at home. You can take it two or three times a day if you want. You know, you can even take your matzo bread, take your shot of grape juice, and if you're so inclined, take a little dose of ivermectin. The thing is that I need to let you understand, you absolutely need to understand that the communion is no joke. This is real healing for today. You know, it's the most powerful thing we can do is to put our trust in Jesus. I had a Word of Faith preacher tell me one time I wasn't going to go to the doctor. And he said, "That's just foolishness." I said, "No, I'm trusting in Jesus." He said, "That's just foolishness." I said, "No, that's the best thing I could think of to do is to cast myself onto the mercy of Jesus." And guess what? I walked away healed. You know, Jesus is so good to us. God is good to us. Open your Bibles up to John chapter 14. You know, at the beginning of the COVID, I told you we were going to take communion and we were going to be serious about it. Well, we started taking it before COVID, and then COVID hit, and we didn't shut down, but we kept taking communion, and nobody in here got COVID. Isn't that interesting? There's a lot of people that stopped going to church that got COVID, though. The communion is real. Jesus is real. Jesus is not just some fantasy. He's not just something that we read about in stories. He is alive, and he is real. And he wants us to put our trust in him. He wants us to have our comfort in him. You know, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's been a lot of people that have been passing away late. And it's just going to get, I told you this before, at about the COVID time, I said, it's going to multiply. It's going to pick up. Right. There's going to be more and more and more. It's going to be to the point that some people are just going to give up and wonder why they even try. Don't give up. Put your trust in Jesus and know this, that we're going to a new heaven and earth, a new heaven and a new earth. How we get there, that's up to Jesus. We could get raptured up out of here, or we could go to the end of the age and go into a new heaven and earth. It don't really matter to me. We're going to a new place. Amen? We're going to a new place. Have you ever noticed? This is an interesting thing I've picked up on. When people ask you to remember the good times, you end up back in the 70s, you know, maybe if you're older, back in the 50s and 60s. But did you notice that it's when you was like 8, 9, 10 years old? You had a carefree time. You remember times when it was fun? And it was carefree, and you just didn't seem to have any worries. You know, your big worries were who was going to have the fastest boat going down the gutter when it rained. You know, who's going to find the best treasure out in the backyard? Remember those days when it was carefree? That's what you're supposed to be right now. See, we get taught from an early age to, you need to stop daydreaming and be an adult, and you need to take responsibility, and you need to start being serious about stuff, and you need to go do this, and you need to go do that, and then you need to go to college, and you need to get a degree in a sheepskin, and then you need to go buy a four-bedroom house, have 3.5 kids, and have a 2.5 car garage, according to the stats. The only person I ever seen that took that stat seriously was Caleb Bencomo. That last kid of theirs was half the size of the other ones. I said, you took that seriously, didn't you? 3.5 kids. But here, look at this. We're supposed to have joy in the Lord. You know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is the strength of your life. Now, when we start looking at our circumstances all around us, and we start looking at all of the things that are happening, and we start looking at all the challenges, you can have a tendency to start feeling a little bit heavy. Maybe you can feel a little bit dark. But there's good news in everything, even in death. Even in death. See, chapter 14, verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Right there, the very first thing he said is, do not let your heart be troubled. You know, most of us run around with a troubled heart. At some point, something's going to bug us. You know, something's going to bug us. There's going to be bills. There's going to be sickness. You know, somebody, there's going to be a loved one in trouble. There's going to be always, there's always some kind of challenge. But he doesn't want us to let our hearts be troubled. You know, the very next verse, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. Now here's the thing about people. We form attachments, and we cling. We cling to things. We cling to people. And no matter how long you have to prepare, no matter how ready you may think you are, maybe, you know, you may have a long time to be ready. You're never really ready, and you're never really prepared. Because that separation is not something that we're willing to accept. It's almost a ripping away, even though we know it's coming and we have time to be ready. It's almost like a tear. And it is, because we have soul ties with people that we love. We have close soul ties with people that we love. And sometimes when that gets ripped away from us, it causes a wound in us that's hard to heal. But I can tell you this, Jesus will heal those wounds. And especially if you'll use the communion. If you'll use the communion to let him come into those deep places and heal those wounds that are deep inside of you that you think are impossible, he'll help you with that grief. See, there's a healthy grieving period. You know that in the Bible, there's a healthy grieving period, and it's a few months. Now, that doesn't mean you're being stoic. It doesn't mean that you're being hard-hearted if you stop grieving somebody after a year. That doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean that you don't love them anymore. It doesn't mean that you don't remember them anymore. It just means that you're not letting their memory haunt you anymore. When you have memories of them, let them be positive memories, be the good memories, not something that's going to tear you down, not something that's going to make you feel bad. And remember this, in my Father's house are many mansions. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and get you. So there's the good news right there. You know, we cling. We cling to people. Even in their sickness and their affliction, we still cling to them. But we should have some joy in our hearts that Jesus came and got them, and they're good now. They're good. You know something about gray hair and wrinkles? those are just signs of the curse. That's the curse wearing on our bodies. Our bodies are going to wear out. You got to know that our bodies are eventually going to wear out. These are our temporary earth suits. And then pretty soon we change addresses. But that's the good news. See, when you get to heaven, when you get into Jesus' presence, guess what? There's no more gray hair. The wrinkle cream salesmen are out of business. There's no more sickness. There's no more pain. There's no more sorrow. There's no more tears. That's the new heaven and new earth. And from what I understand, people are going to be in the prime of their life. Probably in their 30s and 40s. Somewhere in there. You know, before that check engine light comes on. You know, well, my check engine light started coming on in my 20s, but that was my fault. But that goes away. That goes away. There was an interesting thing that happened in Matthew chapter 17, verse 3. Matthew chapter 17, verse 3 says, "Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias." Now, how do you suppose Peter knew who Moses and Elias was? They didn't have any family portraits hanging on the wall. They didn't have any videos of Moses and Elijah. How do you suppose Peter knew who they were? We're going to recognize people. We're going to recognize people. We're going to recognize people we never even met. You're going to be walking around in the new place, and you're going to see David walk down the street, and you're going to go up there and say, "Hey, David, how's it going?" You're going to recognize people. Isn't that interesting? Jesus is not going to have to take you by the hand and come up there and say, "See, this is Paul. I want you to see what he looks like." You're already going to know him. You're going to know him. Peter never laid eyes on Moses or Elijah in his life, but he did know him. And it's interesting, he said, "Let us build three tabernacles." Well, there happens to be three tabernacles, three churches on the Mount of Transfiguration. Did you know that? There's one up there for the Christians. There's one up there for the Jews. And there happens to be one up there for the Muslims. What a tangled web we weave, huh? But But we're not going back to the good old days. We're going forward to the glorious days. We're going forward to a time that the prophets can only dream about. And they did have dreams about. They prophesied about it. They talked about it. They dreamed about it. They longed to see that. Even Abraham, he knew he was just a sojourner on this earth. He knew he wasn't going to be here forever. How many of you have ever kind of had this weird feeling that you just didn't quite belong where you are? It may be home. It may be everything you know. But you should not feel like you belong where you are. See, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. We belong in Christ. You know, that's our natural element. Funny thing about people, this should drive you crazy. The funniest thing about people is we're the only creatures on the face of this earth that has to make its own clothes. Every other creature on the face of this earth grows its own clothes. Why is that? Because we're not in our natural element. We got removed from that when Abraham sinned. The presence of God is where we're supposed to be. That's our natural element, wrapped up in Christ. Now we got this dysfunctional world that we're in, but don't worry. He said we're in this world. We're not of this world, so we're not to be like this world. In fact, the Bible calls us a peculiar people. My pastor said peculiar, not weird. Don't go out there being a weirdo. You're peculiar. That means you're different. You're not picking up the habits of the world. You're not living according to the world. You're living according to the grace of God. Amen. Let's look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know, if anything, when one of our loved ones passes away, we should shout hallelujah. You know, the creature groans within their body. He talks about this in Romans. But our bodies, we start wearing them out at an early age. And our spirits groan to be in the presence of the Lord. So when somebody gets set free, we should be thankful. You know, when Glenn Smith passed away, I was brokenhearted. I thought, man, that's my guy, you know. I mean, that's the guy that actually preached to me when I got born again. And that's the guy that ordained me. And that's the guy that taught me in Bible school. And it was just like all of a sudden, you know, he was just going in for a little procedure, and all of a sudden he was gone. And God gave me this picture. He said, you know something, there was a whole eternity from the time that you didn't know him till the time that you met him and you did know him. And there's this little space of time that we call life, that we know people in the physical on this earth. And then there's a whole eternity after that. But only we don't have to watch them wear out. We don't have to watch them get sick. We don't have to watch them have any trials. Praise God. That's going to be fun. That's good news. That's good news. Boy, it'll be nice to get up in the morning and not wonder if something's going to fall off while you're walking down the hallway. You know, there's sometimes I think, man, I better not move that arm. That shoulder's not good at all today. Take a little bit to get the wrinkles wore out. But we put our faith in God. You know, sometimes each step that we take is really a step of faith in Christ. I've told people this a lot of times, that you can give up. And you can curl up on the bed and play possum and hope the devil goes away. But I got news for you. He ain't going anywhere unless you make him. You have to make him. You have to make him. So it means you're going to have to get up and you're going to have to put your clothes on and you're going to have to get involved in this business called life. And make the most out of every day that you can possibly make. You might call it being a risk taker. But get out there and live life. Get out there and do something. Do something. But don't give up. So when I went to change light bulbs at your house the other day, Charlie's down there stacking bricks up on his walker. I thought, well, okay. He ain't giving up. That's good. So we got rid of the bricks and we went and fixed it with the right stuff. But at least he didn't give up. He's not giving up. He's out there doing something. That's the way people got to be. We got to get out there and do something. I've seen too many people just stop living life because the life they dreamed of got shattered. So they just stop. That's not God's plan for you. You know, I don't know how God's going to sort it all out. You know, I know several people that have gotten, you know, they were married for 30, 40 years and their spouse passed away and they got remarried. And it's okay. Did you know that? It's okay. It's okay to live life. God's going to take care of the small things. No matter how mean the first one was, it's going to be okay when you get to heaven. Amen? She's not going to say, who's this other woman? That ain't the way it's going to work. We're going to be wrapped up in Christ. That's the whole point of our living existence. Because he lives, we live in him. See, death is not the end. Physical death is not the end. This is what people have got to understand. For Christians, it's victory. For Christians, it's the ultimate victory because now you're in Christ Jesus. For unbelievers, it's the final straw. See, this is why it's so important to witness to people. Tell people about Jesus. Because you really don't know when you're going to take your last breath. Nobody does. Only God does. And this habit of people running around saying that we're all children of God and that we all worship the same God has got to stop. That's not the truth. And one of the habits that we've had is running around and getting people born again. We'd say, well, we got 35 souls saved. No, you got 35 spirits saved. But what we would say is you need to get born again so you can live forever with Jesus, which is true. But it leaves this idea that if you don't get born again, that maybe you can just kind of coast. You know, maybe you can just kind of be out here in limbo or something. But that's not the truth. If you don't get born again, you're going to live forever in hell. See, that's the thing. Whether you're a Christian or not, you are going to live forever. Your physical body is going to perish. Whatever's going to happen to it happens to it. But your spirit is going to change addresses. You need to make sure that you have the correct one. You need to make sure that you're heaven bound before you leave this earth, because nobody is going to pray you out of purgatory. There is no holding place. There is no amount of money anybody can give to get you out of there, because you're not there. Another thing in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. You know, you're not going to be on your own when you get to heaven. There's a multitude of people waiting for you there. There's a multitude of people waiting for you to be in the new earth. When we get to the new earth, it's going to be a good place. And we're going there. We need to get rid of this idea that we're going to go back to the good old days. We're going forward to the most glorious times of our life. So stop looking back to the 70s. Now, that doesn't mean you have to stop listening to 70s music. But stop looking back thinking that maybe you can go back to the 70s or 60s or 50s. It's not happening. We're going to a good time, a new age. And I promise you, you're going to like it. The furnishings and the food are just going to be out of this world. You know, the Bible talks about this river of life that we're going to be able to drink of. We can drink out of this river. Have any of you thought about this? This water, this pure crystal water coming down that we can drink of? Have any of you stopped to think, how am I going to approach this? See, Gideon had this challenge. Some of them reached down and picked it up. And some of them got down on their hands and knees and lapped it up like a dog. And they got cut out of Gideon's army. That is just some of the things I think about sometimes. I ain't taking any chances. And this tree of life, you can eat of these leaves. That's for the healing of the nations. Wouldn't that be nice? To live in a world without resentment. To live in a world where everybody's not hating each other. You know something? The devil, he causes divisions. You know, for the longest time, I was taught to, you know, you got to hate the Russians, you got to hate the Chinese, all this stuff. Have any of you ever met any Russians? Did they hate you? They didn't hate me. Have any of you ever met any Chinese? You know, I met a Chinese lady down at the hardware store one time, and I helped her fix her flat tire. Turns out she was a Christian. She got born again over here. She escaped China and got born again over here. Well, then she went back to the store and left me a big tip for fixing her tire. Well, see, here's the thing. If I would have believed what everybody had taught me, I wouldn't have even helped her. I wouldn't have even talked to her. You're Chinese, I'm not talking to you. But God says in the Bible, says to see no man after the flesh. See no man after the flesh. In fact, there's just a few kinds of people that we really do have. We have believers, we have unbelievers, and we have backsliders. So when we have believers, well, we join together with them. We don't forsake the gathering of the brethren. When we have unbelievers, we get them born again. When we have backsliders, we pounce on them like a pack of wolves, right? No, we encourage them the same way Paul did the Corinthian church. He reminds them of who they are in Christ Jesus. Remember, he told them, said, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Said, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're a new creature in Christ. See, this is how we're to deal with people that are having a challenge in life. Well, we know they're Christians, but they're having hard times and things maybe aren't going their way. We go remind them of who they are in life. We bear one another's burdens. Help them out. Amen? You know, sometimes you can help people out with time. I know we got busy days, and we have a lot of things to do, but it's not really a super taxing situation to stop by and see somebody. Stop by and visit. Get your eyes on them, make sure they're okay. To stop and visit. It's okay to do that. Let's look at one more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. And I might look at one more. But we'll look at this one first. One Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 17. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We're going to come together in Christ, one way or the other. The Bible tells us, that talks about a time when we all come together in the unity of the faith. Not our doctrine, in the unity of the faith. That's here on this earth. Eventually, we're going to come together in the unity of the faith. That's going to be an interesting time. That's going to be the one world church. Everybody wrapped up in Christ. Amen. But if you leave here before that happens, guess what? You're caught up together with them in Christ Jesus. Up in here, those ones that went before you, they're going to be there. You're going to recognize them. They're not going to be sick. It's going to be a party. It's going to be a good time. See, the Bible tells us to comfort one another in these things. You know, a lot of times I've had a lot of people come to me and say, we need to pray for this person. And they're in the hospital and things aren't looking good and maybe they're not going to make it. You know, the very first thing we need to do is make sure we're on the same page with that person. You know, Wanda Adams, she had been talking to me for about a year before she passed. She'd been talking to me for a year. She was ready to go home. She was ready. And she was in the hospital, and somebody said, we need to pray for her, get her back home. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa. She's 80-something years old. She ran her race. She wants to go home. She wants to go get her crown. She doesn't want to be trapped in this bad, wore-out body anymore. Let's get an agreement. Let's get an agreement with her. See, that's the first thing we need to do, is get an agreement with the people we're dealing with. Can you imagine anything more frustrating? You're almost ready to go home. You ran your race. You've been here for 85, 90 years. You're ready to roll. And you can almost see Jesus. Your crown is waiting for you. Your victory is almost there. And all of your friends are down in the church praying to keep you here. I just see someone saying, what are you guys doing? Get out of the way. See, this is why it's so important to locate people in advance. It means you're going to have to pay attention to what they're saying. We don't have any business going praying our will off on somebody. We need to pray God's will and be in agreement with the people we're dealing with. You know, people get relief in Jesus. They finally escape these wore-out bodies in their home. That's a good thing. Amen? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything you do for us. Father, we thank you for taking care of us. Father, we thank you that even though we may be separated from our loved ones for a little while on this earth, we will soon see them in Jesus. And we'll see Jesus face to face. We'll see him as he is. And we'll see our new name. We'll be complete in him. Our redemption will be 100% completed when we see him face to face. Father, we thank you for this. And Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus for a multitude of grace and mercy to flow upon this earth as we go through this transition. We don't understand how it's all going to happen, but we trust in you to take us to the new place. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.